From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Maynard Villers reading Captive's Trail by Will C. Knott, the 8th adventure in the Golden Hawk series. Now let's begin with Chapter 1 of Captive's Trail. Hawk paused and held up his hand to warn Tame's horses. The old warrior hadn't needed Hawk's warning. He had frozen in mid-stride, his ancient face lifted, his head turned slightly as the distant sounds of a struggle came to them through the tangle of underbrush. "Grizzly," whispered Hawk. He was, maybe, poking into a bee's nest for its honey. Either that or it was plundering a camp. The sounds were coming from off to his right. Tame's horses nodded solemnly.
"The beast who walks like a man. Yes. Maybe be better we go in other direction. This time of year, they feed for winter. Get big as young buffalo."
Still crouching warily, Hawk nodded. Then they heard a terrible flaming oath, followed by the bear's shattering response, a roar that seemed to shake the forest. With silence and discretion no longer a consideration, the two men changed direction and plunged toward the commotion, coming out a moment later into a small clearing. One glance told Hawk everything. A partially demolished teepee stood in the clearing, one side completely torn open, the tan buffalo hide cover ripped like paper. To one side of the teepee, a half-dozen pelts hung on a stretched willow hoop, drying. The flesh side turned to face the sun. These were untouched, but a trail of destruction led from the teepee's gaping hole past the racks of beaver pelts to a dense patch of underbrush on the far side of the clearing. From there came the enraged woofs and snarls of the infuriated beast as it tore at whatever had aroused its fury, more than likely the Indian whose teepee it had been disturbed, looting. Checking his Hawkins load, Hawk moved swiftly but cautiously toward the sounds of struggle. Tame's horses kept pace with him, his white hair moving in the breeze like tufts of cotton. He held his bow out in front of him, an arrow's notch already fitted to the bowstring. A muffled but powerful shot came from the tangle of underbrush. It sounded like a flintlock pistol of some ancient variety, and the immediate result was an increase in the volume of the grizzly's rage. Hawk's foot came down on a dry branch. The snap echoed in the enclosed clearing like a rifle shot, and a second later a fearfully wounded bear tore from the brush to face them. The handle of a long buffalo knife protruded from its shoulder, the blood from the blade already matting its chest, and one side of its muzzle had just been blown away, more blood seeping over the clean, white, exposed bone of its mangled lower jaw. All this damage seemed only to endow the beast with a supernatural fury and strength as it reared up with a roar, standing a full 8 feet tall. Then it charged. Its lumbering gait, though appearing slow to the eye, enabled the huge beast to close with Hawk and Tame's horses with startling speed. As Tame's horses poured arrow after arrow into the onrushing animal, Hawk stood his ground, lifted the crescent-shaped butt of the half-stock to his shoulder, and placed his sights on the huge beast's massive chest. By this time, the grizzly was less than 20 feet away. Hawk fired, point-blank, placing his ball into the great bear's heart. As he saw the hole appear in the animal's chest beside the shaft of one of Tame's horse's arrows, he became uncomfortably aware that no animal was harder to bring down, and that one swipe of its taloned paw could rip him open from sole to crown. But this bear was fashioned of flesh and blood after all. The huge beast pulled up and reared, swaying like a sailor on a pitching deck, one paw held up as if to call a halt to the whole business. Its massive chest and shoulders resembled a bloody pincushion. Then, incredibly, the brute recovered and, with a fierce guttural growl, came on again. Cursing, Hawk poured powder down the rifle barrel and followed it with a lead ball, while Tame's horses, now on one knee beside him, kept fitting arrows to his bow and sending them at the bear. The infuriated beast woofed unhappily with each new arrow's arrival, and by the time Hawk had finished seating the load in his hawken, it was close enough for him to see the bear's smashed teeth and gums, and its red, lolling tongue still remarkably intact. Hawk lifted his hawken and fired. This time, the ball entered one of the bear's eye sockets and blew away half of its brain, the back of its skull exploding behind it in a pink cloud. The grizzly gave another loud bellow, then stopped, head lowered. Its whole body swept.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?